We are at the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis, 78b. We had just talked about the haystack in between two courtyards. If it's filling in the ditch, so then it's only going to be a good filler if you mevatel it there. You say you don't need it anymore. If, however, you're going to use it as an actual divider, so then it really does divide regardless of your intention. Now the Gemara says, if you remember from the Mishnah, it said Malei Afar, if the hole, the ditch in between the two courtyards was filled with dirt. So the Gemara says, Va'afilu b'stama, even if you didn't say anything, right? This is coming on the heels of the haystack, where you had to explicitly say that you're going to mevatel it, or you explicitly have the intention that you're going to be mevatel it, that you're going to nullify it there. So the Gemara says, Va'atana, but doesn't the Mishnah say, Ba'i shemilo tevin otzoros b'tlubatel, that a house, which is, and this I believe is referring to Tumah, right? There's a Tumas Mace. The question is whether or not you've closed off certain parts of the house. So if it's filled in, if the places that you're trying to close off are filled in with hay or with pebbles, so and then you were mevatel it, right? Meaning that that was your intention, was to leave it there. So then it's batel, which implies bitlu in lo bitlu lo. On to Ayin Tes, 79. So if you didn't nullify it, so then it wouldn't work. So, Amar Rav Huna, Man Tana Ohalos Rabbi Yosihi. That's referring to Rabbi Yosi. And our Mishnah is presumably not going like Rabbi Yosi. It's Machlokas Tanayim, in other words. That Rabbi Yosi believes that in order for stones or for dirt, which go together in our Mishnah, in order for those to be true fillers, right, to be true solid areas, they have to be, Rabbi Yossi thinks that they have to actually be nullified there, that you're not going to use them later. Whereas our Mishnah implies that it doesn't have to be nullified there, it could even be just stam there. Right? You don't have any explicit intention to keep it there or to take it away from there. So come on, so wait a second. Rabbi Yossi, if that Mishnah was really Rabbi Yossi, Ibcha Shamin and Lay, we heard the opposite about Rabbi Yossi. We didn't hear that Rabbi Yossi thinks that hay or stones is going to actually be good, a good filler exclusively when you nullify it. Titania, we heard the other way. We heard that maybe even if stam, you don't explicitly want to nullify it. Titania, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Tevin, Vein, Asadlifano, Sohare, Ukastam, Afar, Ubato. This is again referring to tumah situations, that if you have some hay and you have no intention that in the future you're going to take it away, so then it's considered like stam afar, right? Stam afar meaning that you're not actually intending to take it away either, and therefore stam afar is batel. So that sounds a lot like our Mishnah. And that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So you can't tell me that the Mishnah in Ahalos is Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi clearly has another braisa where he says that stam afar is batel. That when you have no intention for dirt, it's considered as if it's left there and it's nullified there. Afar va'asid lafanoso, but if it's dirt that you explicitly have the intention to take it away, harehu kastam tevin. So that's like the default of hay, which is that lobato, that's not going to be nullified there, and therefore it's not going to be considered a significant partition. Ella Omer Rav Asi, Mantana Erevin, who's the one in our Mishnah? It's Rabbi Yossi. And then presumably the Mishnah in Ahalos has to be somebody else. So Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yoshua, Amar Tuma, Shabbos Karamis. Wait a second, you're going to bring me a statement from a Mishnah in Ahalos to challenge a statement in a Mishnah in Shabbos. Hanach Iser Shabbos, Da'afilu Aranki Nami Mevatel Inish. Don't talk to me about Shabbos, because when it comes to Shabbos, things are more nullified than usual. Meaning, even if a person, literally it says, even if a person had a bag full of money, Aranki. Right, Rashi says, Kis Mali Mos. So even a bag full of money, a person will say, I'm not going to touch it. Meaning they're going to set it aside and they're going to mevatel it. Meaning that they're not going to be moving it on Shabbos. In which case, the halachos of muktzah, or the halachos of things that you put down on Shabbos, are more nullified or more set in place that they're going to stay there, more than you would by tumah. By tumah, it's an ongoing thing where a person has more of a likelihood to take the material away, whereas for Shabbos, people who set things up before Shabbos, they're not going to, they're really removed from those items. So the Gemara says, and furthermore, and therefore you don't have, don't bring me the olos thing, and therefore it's not a problem. Even if Rabbi Yo, presumably the reason they're saying this is, even if you wanted to make amends between these two sources, maybe it's also Rabbi Yossi in both situations. Either way, it's not going to be a challenge because Shabbos is qualitatively different than Tumah. And Rav Ashi comes and says, Rav Ashi Amar, Bayis Acharitz Karamis. You're going to tell me about, I believe, the Tumah of a house. You're going to tell me about what that should dictate about the ditch between two courtyards. Bishlam Acharitz Limitam Eikai. It's true that for a ditch, so then, L'mit'ame is an interesting word here. Rashi says, Hilkach stam afrabatolei v'afil rabanan. I didn't know this word, but apparently Sefaria, I guess maybe it's from Otem. I don't know. The Sefaria says here, it stands to be filled, right? A ditch is meant to be filled, right? Bishlam acharitz l'mit'ame kai, right? It's meant to be filled. And therefore the default could be that when you fill it, that's a good filler. Ela bias l'mit'ame kai. Is a house really something that you plan to be filled up with stones? So obviously not, and therefore we can't necessarily draw a distinction about what the default status of things filling up a house versus things filling up a ditch are, because the ditch is meant to be filled, and therefore we'll have a greater tendency to look at whatever we put in there as being nullified and set in place there. The question would then be, well, what about hay? Why is hay treated so poorly or not treated with the same nullification assumption as stones or dirt? I guess that's for obvious reasons. Either way, the Gemara says, let's say you've got these two courtyards, and it's quoting the Mishnah, it says, and the Mishnah said that if you put a board across the two courtyards, across this ditch, so then that would be a connection between the two, and therefore they could potentially make an erev together. So Amar Rava says, Lo shanu el shenason l'rachbo. That's only if you put the plank across the perpendicular to the two courtyards, right, connecting the two. Avala arko, but if you would put it only to half of the length, meaning and not crossing over the ditch, so then I feel a kol shehunami, that would also work. Regardless of whether or not it connects to the other side, excuse me, because that is going to be mima'ato. That's going to lessen the four amos in between, the four tefachim in between the two courtyards. Here's a picture of it in case you don't understand what I'm talking about, right? As opposed to putting the board across, like this situation, they put the board parallel with the courtyard, sticking out sort of like just cantilevered there, just hanging there, and it doesn't really connect the two, but it makes the connection of them smaller, meaning that if it was four tefachim wide, the ditch beforehand, so now it's a little bit, it's 3.5 tefachim, and therefore it's going to be considered connected regardless of the physical connection with the board. V'chein shnei guztirao zukenegadzu, and similarly two balconies that are connected to each other or that are opposite each other. Amarava hada amar zukenegadzu in zushalokenegadzu lo. If the balconies aren't exactly lined up with each other, on the same plane or on the same grid, right? That you don't have to go on a diagonal to get from one balcony to the other, so then that would work. But if it's not, if it is diagonal, so then you can't make this connection. Vizula malumizu, if it's on an incline, when you put the board across one balcony to the other, because the heights are different, The only time that we say you're allowed to do it is if there's a less than three tzvachim difference between the elevation of one and the elevation of the other. All right, so if the, I mean, they don't have to be exactly the same plane, but as long as they're within three tefachim each other vertically, so then the balconies can be connected, because that's considered to be on the same plane. But if they're not connected, at least within three tefachim of each other, so that's considered a crooked balcony. And therefore, you would not be able to connect the two. Okay, new Mishnah. We actually mentioned this Mishnah yesterday, so it's not really new, but it is a new Mishnah on the Daf. Matzvein shebein shtei chatzer shkavo asar tzvachim ma'arvin shnayim ve'im arvin echad. A haystack, which is in between, meaning not in the ditch, but above ground. It's a big pile of hay. So then if it is 10 tvachim tall, so then they have to make two separate erevin, meaning that the hay, even though when it came to a ditch, it wasn't necessarily a good filler. When it comes to the actual wall, which is what we talked about yesterday, when it comes to the actual wall dividing them, then the mechitza is a good mechitza, and therefore they have to do separate erevin. They cannot join together. So Gemara says, Eilu machilu mikan, ve'eilu machilu mikan. The Mishnah says that they're allowed to eat from both sides, the animals. Nismayit ha'tavim me'asar tzvachim, if, because they're eating it, the animals are eating it, then it gets less than 10 tzvachim, so then ma'arvin ech ve'en ma'arvin shnayim. So then you're allowed to make an erev together, and you don't have to make an erev separately. Which seems like a pretty obvious point, but the Gemara is going to talk about it. Amar Rav Huna, u'bavashlo yitein l'tol kubas v'yachil. As long as the person doesn't put the hay into his basket and feed the animal himself. Meaning the hay is muktzah. I think that's what it means. Rashi says, "Biyadayim tolkabas dilma shakil tuva umam itle me'asar." V'komentatz b'chatzar hasaras. Also, Rashi is saying that it's not really an issue of muktzah. We're going to talk about muktzah in a second. But Rashi is saying that the problem is on Shabbos itself. If you are the one that's going to take it, you're going to take too much hay. Right, so if the animal does it, so we assume the animal's going to keep it to a minimum. But if you start to do it, so then you're going to come to do so much of it that you're going to limit the height of the haystack, and thereby you're going to be carrying inside of a chatzar, which does not have an eruv, right? Because you'll connect the two courtyards together. So Gemara says, "Okme shari," and to allow the animal. Or to allow a person to bring his animal there and eat the hay is okay. Meaning you just said you can't take it and put it into your bag by yourself. But what about putting the animal there? That should also be a problem. This will take us back to Maseches Shabbos. You're allowed to put your animal on top of connected grass. But you're not allowed to put your animal on top of muktzah, meaning disconnected grass, because that's an issa d'rabbanan, and mi d'rabbanan, we want to make sure that you're not going to pick up the muktzah stuff yourself, and therefore, so the Gemara says here too, you shouldn't be allowed to bring your animal to this haystack because it's loose muktzah items, and therefore, if it's asr mi d'rabbanan to move the hay by taking it and put it in your bag, should also be asked midi rabbanan to bring your animal to there in the first place. Just like it's not okay to bring your animal to the field with loose grass. So Gemara says, "Lo dekayim la ba'apa v'azla v'achol," that the person is standing in between his animal and the haystack, and he doesn't have to. And the animal went and did it by himself. Not the person didn't bring him there. So Gemara says, okay, well then let's try another angle at this. Is it not allowed to bring you? Are you not allowed to bring your own to take your own haystack and put it into your own basket? V'atanya the Braisa says, by shabein stechatzas milu teven ma'arvin shnayim ve'marvin echad. That a house which is full of hay. So then you can make an eruv between the two of them, and you don't have to make, and you're not allowed to make an eruv between the two of them. Right, it's beanie it's sorry, it's two it's three houses. The middle one is the one with hay. Yeah, there's an interesting picture of that, but you don't need a picture to figure that one out. You got two houses on the side, and then you have one in the middle that's full of hay. So those two houses are disconnected from each other. However, a person's allowed to do it. A person's allowed to take the hay from this middle house and eat. If, however, the tavan gets less, the hay gets less than 10 tefachim tall, so then it's going to make the courtyards connected to each other. So Gemara says, Kesed hu osel. How could he do it? Noel es beis mevatu es reshuso hu aser v'chaver mutar. That he should lock his door and thereby mevatel his, and then also be mevatel his reshus to the other guy. And then, although he can't eat, at least his friend will be able to still eat the hay, right? Even though it's less than 10 tefachim, the person would still be allowed to use it once the other person is not going to be oser him from accessing that courtyard, because he's going to mevatel his reshus, he's not going to be the owner of it, and therefore it's not going to be a problem for Erevin purposes. So Gemara says, V'chein ata omer begov shel tevin shebein shnei tchumei Shabbos. And similarly, you said, I don't know who you is, V'chein ata omer, and similarly one would say, in a pit of hay, the pit of hay, which is between two tchumen, between two areas of Shabbos, you know, boundaries. You're allowed to still take from the hay and put it into your own basket to feed your animal. Therefore, it shouldn't be a problem. According to Rav Huna, at the beginning of the Gemara, Rav Huna presumably should allow a person to take the hay in this situation also between two courtyards, just like you said it by the houses, and just like you said it by the tzchumen, you should also say it by the chatzer. So Amri, bias. So some say that the reason the difference is bias came into Ika Mechitzos V'tikram Kimipches Minkaram La Milsa. That when you have a house and you lessen from 10 tefachim tall, so you'll be able to notice the distinction between the ceiling and the haystack. You know how tall the haystack was before, and now you'll recognize the haystack afterwards, and therefore we're not as concerned that when you take the hay, you're going to forget or not realize that the pile got smaller. Hacha, however, in the case of the courtyard, we're in the open air, so it's very hard to distinguish what's 9 tefachim, what's 10 tefachim, and therefore it's not going to be something you're going to prevent yourself from continuing to do because you can't recognize the height difference. Nismayin hatefem me'asar tefachim shneim asur. If the haystack gets less than 10, so then they're both going to be usher to each other, meaning that the two courtyards have to make an eruv together. Ha asara shari. That means that 10 is okay. If afa gavta midalia tikra tuva. That even means that if it doesn't reach the ceiling, right? If you remember the Gemara's last week, almost exactly a week ago today, we talked about whether the walls create a good partition only if they go all the way to the ceiling, or can they even be less than the ceiling? Can they be cubicles, basically, to require? Sorry. Can they be cubicles that require a eruv, or do they have to go all the way up to the ceiling? The Gemara sounded like over there that they have to go all the way up to the ceiling. At least that would be establishing its permanence. So the Gemara says here that clearly the Mishnah doesn't say anything about the ceiling. If it's just a haystack, so then all it has to do is be 10 tachim tall. It has nothing to do with whether it goes to a ceiling. So Shema Mina Mechitzos Shein Magios Latikra Shema Mechitzos. A mechitza could be a bona fide wall even if it doesn't reach a ceiling. So Omar Abai Hachma Abai Shlosha Asar Chasar Mashu Eskin. Now this is talking about a house where the ceiling is 13 less a little bit. V'tevan Asar, and therefore the hay is 10. And thereby, even though it's not necessarily clear in the Mishnah, the assumption is that the wall is really only a good wall because it reaches within 3 tefachim of the ceiling. Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua, Amar Afilu Tema Beis Hasara V'Tavin Shiva Mashu D'Chol Pachas Mishlash Kolav Adami. Similarly, says Rav Huna, onto Amud Beis, the wall or the haystack could be seven and a bit tall, and it is connecting to the ten tefach tall ceiling. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Alabai Hainu D'Ktanami Asara. That's why it says in the Mishnah the number from 10. That it's good for the haystack if it's 10 tefachim tall. El Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, Mai Me'asara. Why would it say 10 if the haystack is 7? So the Gemara says, no, Mitoras Asara, the concept of Asara, or the category of 10, because it is considered to be 10 in the fact that it's connected to the ceiling. Okay. Shnei Masurin. So then they'd both be Asar. They'd both be usher once the haystack gets less than 10. So the Gemara says, Shema minad ziyorin habayin b'Shabbos asurin. Does that mean that residents that only arrive, that only come on Shabbos, would make it usher for the other people in the courtyard? Right? This presumably is happening on Shabbos. Right? That the haystack is 10 tefachim tall, and then it gets less. So look at that. We have a new courtyard here. Right? It's as if some visitors came on Shabbos and made it usher for you. So I said, no, Dilma de'im at me'esmo. It got lessened before Shabbos started. And therefore, you're looking at a haystack, which is less than 10, at the beginning of Shabbos, and therefore the courtyards have to make an Erev together. So Gemara says, Kesed Huosa. So what could he do? Which is presumably Pshita. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't ask that. That's kind of an obvious thing. If the haystack is less than 10, I guess we hadn't said it necessarily. But either way, sounds like we talked about it by the wall, like a wall cases we talked about the last few days. Either way, the Gemara says, Kesaru, so what should you do? No, it's based from about to Roshuso. You could lock your house and move out to Roshus. So the Gemara says, Tarti, you have to do more. You have to do both of those. You have to lock it and be about to Roshus. Why can't you just move out to Roshus? When did we ever talk about locking your door? So, Hachi Kamar, oh no, Espeso, oh, move out to Roshus. You got to do one or the other. To block off your access to that chatzer, either you have to nullify your ownership in your own chatzer, or you have to block off by closing the door and locking it, which we've seen before between different chatzeres, if you remember. Alternatively, maybe you have to do both. Because you're so used to using it, you're so used to going into that middle house to get your hay, so maybe it does require more than usual. It does require you to lock it and to move out to Rishus. So who asar v'chavir mutar? So this is another obvious point. The Gemara says pshita. So the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? If he's mivatar to his Rishus, or if he locks his door, so obviously he can't access it anymore, and his friend's still good. So pshita lo tzricha dehadar idar idach ubatul el chavrei v'akamash malan. Maybe this person did a nullification, and then after his friend got some hay for himself, so then he said. So then he said to his friend, okay, I'll nullify it back to you, right? Now I don't have ownership in your property, or now I don't have ownership in this middle property, you can use it again. And the Gemara is coming to say, no, you can't do a bittul after a bittul to give it back and forth, otherwise the whole concept of bittul wouldn't work. That also is pshita, so that you're allowed to do the same thing that you do between the courtyards, between the houses, you'd be allowed to do between the tchumin, between the boundaries. Pshita. Maybe because according to Rabbi Akiva, tchum is doraisa, right? And therefore we should be more stringent about it, and then we're going to be careful that you're not allowed to take from a haystack which is in between two boundaries, lest you come to go to the other side and leave your own boundary. Kamash Malan, we're not worried about it. Okay. New Mishnah. The Mishnah says, how do you make a shituf? Ketzad mishtatfim b'mavoy. How do you make a shituf in the mavoy? Manech asachav is v'om ha'rez al kol b'nei mavoy. U'mezak lehen ha'yidei b'no b'do ha'gdolim v'ayidei avda v'shifchaso ha'ivrim v'ayidei ishtel. How do you make the mavoi? You can put the barrel down. Where do you have to put it? I think we've seen you can put it wherever you want, but which is what we do. But you can put it wherever you want. And you say, this is for everybody. And you can be mezaket. I mean, you can't just do that yourself. You have to give it to somebody else. That could be your son. It could be your child, as long as they're gedolim. Your son, your daughter. You could be your servant. It could be your maidservant. and it could be your actual, your wife. I think we paskin against this, but yeah. You have to give it to somebody else. You shouldn't give it to your child or your son or your daughter who are gedola, who are ketana, meaning they're not bar bar mitzvah yet. And not through your kenana, non-Jewish slave, because they are dependent on you, and whenever they are zocha, whatever they lift up, it's basically yours also. So Amr of Yehuda, Chavishal Shituvim Mavosar Lagbiyam in a Karka Tefach. When you pick it up, you gotta pick it up. And I did a wedding for a convert yesterday, and we were sort of doing the marriage swaps, like for Edim. I don't know if you've ever seen, like when you sell chametz, right? So you can imagine a convert's confusion when you like give him something, say, just pick it up a little bit. It's like, what are you talking about? So one of the other rabbis had given him his hat. So the convert took the hat and put it on his head. He's just like completely clueless as to what are you talking about? Pick it up a little bit. So that's what the Gemara is saying here. In order to actually effectuate the sale, you have to pick it up. You have to sort of bring it into your rishus. So here too, when it comes to the mavoy, when it comes to the barrel of wine, you actually have to pick it up a little bit. So Amarava, Hani Tarti Mili. So Gemara says there are two things that Sabe de Pumpadisa Amrinhu. This is what's going to segue us into some agada to tomorrow. That there are two things that the elders of a Pumpadisa used to say. Chadaha, one of them is this, that you got to pick it up. You got to pick up the barrel in order to be mezake for everybody else. Idach hamekadesh, someone who's making kiddush. Im tam lo lugma yatza v'im lav lo yatza. You have to actually drink a cheekful's worth in order to actually yotze your kiddush. Also, for other things too. People don't always realize this. You know, like for Havdalah or something, right? I've seen people take the wine and you just take a little sip, you pour a little out to put the candle in, and then you put the wine to the side. No, you have to drink enough wine in order for you to be able to say the actual Havdalah. So the Gemara says, Amr of Chaviva, Hanami, or grape juice. I didn't mean to say wine specifically. Hanami Sabi de Pumadisa Arminhu, Damar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Osin Medur Lachai B'Shabbos. Another thing that the elders of Pumadisa said is that you're allowed to make a bonfire for a pregnant or for a woman who just gave birth on Shabbos for the sake of her health. So Gemara says, Savar Mina Lachai in Lachol Olo. That sounds like from there that for a woman who just gave birth, and it's a Bikuach Nefesh situation, that would be good, but Lachol Olo. But for a regular silk person, you would not be allowed to. Although usually chola means pekuch nefesh also. Here, presumably, it's a little less than that. But you most likely shum him in the times of winter, right? The days of rain, the rainy season, that's when you're allowed to do it. But you most chama lo. But in the time of the summer, where it's not so necessary for the fire to keep warm, you would not be allowed to do that on Shabbos, even for someone who just gave birth. So Itmar, another statement, Amar of Chia, Bar oven amar shmuel hikis dam in its danin. If you bloodlet, you remember this from Shabbos, also no madur, but Shabbos, if you have you can make a fire for a person, even if it's in the summer, even if it's in the times of Tammuz. Presumably, the statement beforehand is also not limited to the winter. It also could be that the fire could help a person after they have some kind of medical procedure, whether it's bloodletting or giving birth. Okay, Mirz Hashem, we will pick up with more statements from Pumpadisa tomorrow and see where that brings us. Shkayach. Have a good day.
This is a heck of a time to be talking about what a shituf is since we've been talking.